Hello, this is the Tribe Stories, the curated sermons, conversations, and collections of poetry of the Tribe Lagos. May this refresh and revive you as you listen.
Great to be here. I don't know when we are going to end love therapy, but I'm sure some people say, what is this love therapy? When is it going to end? But I think it's very useful in our time, because I think that there is a lack of knowledge in this space, even if it's available, but, you know, in a way that, you know, people can get to the root of the matter, and we can from there glide. So today we'll just be talking about practical love. You know, when I was engaging my wife on what, you know, for example, I had to call my wife when she was doing some parenting work. My wife is the chief parental, for lack of a better word, disciplinarian. So when she's bringing out the cane, I just go into the room, you know, because I cannot bear the sight. You know, and you know, sometimes, you know, she would tell Finn follower and tell him that don't be stubborn, right? And I get to what I say, that when you tell someone no mass, right? You don't know mass, no mass. That doesn't change anything. You get what I mean? Love your neighbor. You see, as children of God, we need to love our neighbor and love God. Yeah, I know. But how, right? And so today we'll just try and, you know, talk about that. But before then, I just want to sort of do a recap. I like to, because we are going through a series, and I don't know if you guys are learning a lot. How many of you are learning? Maybe I should take the mic around and really get a sense of. Some people are dodging. One second. So, I think I learned from Pastor Toby about if you have not successfully handled relationship with, before you get to the point of dating and doing life with someone long term, if you have not done it successfully with the playground, like your siblings, your co-workers, and with God himself, it will be important that you find that playground as a useful tool to mend those relationships, make it fruitful, make it giving, make it loving. And if you have that, it's easy to deploy that in your long-term relationship. And we call it marriage anyways. So that's really something that was really very powerful for me that stuck. Then Pastor Martin's, that was very like, he went, you know, poured out his heart. If you did, you know, you don't get everybody being very practical and very real and telling you the way it is. And that love is sacrifice. I mean, you know, there was a time my wife was teaching, and that was the first time it really occurred to me that 1 Corinthians 13, if you read everything that 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about, there was nothing like affection. There was nothing like romance, right? Because if you want to get romance, you have to get this one right for romance to be bettered, right? I cannot, you know. Okay, let me not go very. I wanted to talk about how traditional, men. You know, one of my friends was really traditional, and I was lucky, but I was in their house one day, and I wanted to see how their romance life was like. And he just went, and the way he called his wife, okay, this is PG-18, right? So the way he called his wife into the room was, I'll speak Yoruba, ma bombi bai. You know what that means? Just come here, go into the room. Like a young, this is not an old, if it was like a 50-year-old, so you can sort of make excuses, it's our father's time, but like a young guy, you, right? But I said that to say this, that the demand of love is actually sacrifice, right? And he gave us a very interesting definition. He said, love is a choice, I'll try and try, that goes after the subject of his affection. Pastor Matthews, I hope I'm getting it right. Yeah. I think it was the subject and object of his affection. There's an internal part, but I can't remember. But anyways, seeing that this is a forever journey, that was really very powerful and gave some acronyms around earth, effort, attitude, and a lot of that, lifestyle and habit. Yeah, back to Father Freddy. I want to read Pastor Freddy. You'll see a lot of very interesting things. Wokeism. Yeah. Let me read one. Where did I cue that? 1 second. Okay, I think I have it. Wokeism is the elevation of system of thoughts. You know what I mean? So the isms, feminism, and all the chauvinists and all. But renewal or transformation is the elevation of your Christ consciousness. Yeah, I hope that sinks deep. In culture, love is something you obtain, but in Christ, love is something we express. Yeah, I think that's really powerful. And I think the one that really, I am really using, because I see that happening, and I'm using that a lot in conflict resolution. I am at home with the fact that my initial response may be culture. And it says, when there is tension, culture speaks first, right? Most times you find yourself, bound down to some things. And he said, culture speaks first before Christ, and that's reaction mode. But in Christ, right? But Christ will speak first in response mode. So, and response is saying that you take a deep breath and sort of analyze what happened to the situation, then Christ can kick in easier at that point. So yeah, I think that's really something that we need to take home. And if you are not taking anything, listen to the messages. I took my time to sort of listen in. And because if we go through this series and you are not self-reflecting and making those adjustments, then we'll just come and, tribe will not be useful. I think tribe is a useful place to be personally transformed, and you want to take those things very... So let's go back to why we're here today. So spread our love. So we'll open our Bibles to 1 John 3, verse 18. Okay. KJV says love. Okay. Let's draw the three versions. My little children, let's not love in word, neither in song, but in deed and truth. Let's read. Not 19. Let's just try TPT as well. So, beloved children, our love can't be abstract theory. We only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our deeds. So message is something that I really like as well. Okay, it's not moving. I have message. So my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. And I think that's really so I'm going to put Dukwe on the spot. Dukwe. So in what ways, right, have you, I can speak to it, but I want to speak to the things that I think I try to do, right? So you speak to the things that, in what ways have you practically shown me love?
You eat good food now. Huh? Okay. practical love. Okay, I think... for me, I have a nature, there is a personality type that is very planned, very step-by-step methodology sort of thing. And if things don't come or are not presented to me that way, I will not be able to support or understand. But you have a free spirit and... Yeah, creative in that sense that, okay, there's method to a madness, there's harmony in chaos sort of style. And that in itself is recipe for problem, because we are doing our lives together. So what I've had to do, because I love you, is to say, I will find a way to build structure within the method of the madness and chaos. And most importantly, I will not make you feel inept for not thinking like me. I will not make you feel bad for not having systems and structures. I will support you and work with you in that storm and be putting small, small boxes here and there. Where, and then you will see it and we can work together that way. So I sacrifice my own very nature just so that you will be able... Wow, sorry.
Again.
So that you can feel comfortable in yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, invariably she's saying I'm very disorganized.
I said method to badness.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the people are showing me love in various ways. Love that sort of creates a... okay, let me talk about how, like, I try to show her love. I think it's one of the simplest of things. I didn't know very early, and part of the things that in our first 3 years of marriage, I think I've mentioned it here before, everything looked good, but there was a major breakdown. I think it was the third year. And I realized that there's a part of me that I look, I'm introverted. What that means is that I don't have, my threshold for social interaction is, I still have it, right? So if you are gisting and we are talking and I argue for a lot of time and I argue for like 30 minutes, you know, and you are leading worship, I can't connect to worship. Right, because it's like, even though the worship you are singing, I can't connect, because at that point I'm trying to like this skill. And I asked the people I was gisting with, I was looking at them, the way they were saying, Father, they were raising. I had to ask them that, how did you transition from that heated conversation? And you are free spirited too. You can see, so I, the rest of my wife, I was not appealing to like our emotional needs. And it was so critical for her because I was so disconnected to that. But right now, I have improved. Right, yeah. I've improved a great deal, right? So I send her voice notes when she's in the office. I say, how's your day going? Right, so every morning, every day, right, I try to do that because I try to remember the things she talked about yesterday, and I'm following up with that via the voice note. So how is this boss doing? What is he doing now? What is he up to? In fact, following up to, you know, sometimes my wife used to talk about, oh, someone is like, you know, the fact that you are married to a beautiful wife who loves you doesn't mean that someone will not love her, like her. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
She tells me about a guy that likes her and is sort of asking her out and all of that. So, and...
The married, the better.
So it's not about, please, you know, it's not about being threatened. It's about going through the journey with her and how she's handling it. So how far with that method that you wanted to try today? Give me updates. I think that something that I try to do that is that when she comes back, I'm trying to know how her day went and asking her, tell me a round off of your day. And because I think that that's very important, because you want to know where her head is at. Because if you, and I think one of the greatest points of tension I found was because I don't know where her head is at. I really don't know what she has been through previously or 2 days, 3, 4 days ago. And I'm insisting and placing demands. And so I try to do it like 50 or 60% of the time, not 100% of the time, and say, how did your day go? And I think that doing that really makes me feel like, Taiwo, you are coming out of yourself, and you are giving to her what she needs. You are feeding her. And I think that that's something I've done.
Well done.
And so we're saying this because I feel like concept around love is friendship, you probably may not understand until I realized that one of our friends that currently, they are going through separation. We've not been able to sort of bring them together, but I know that God, we are intently praying that that beauty that they had when they were in school comes back. I realized that they were friends in school, but they couldn't hack friendship in marriage, right? And when I dialed back to what friendship was like, I realized that the concept of friendship was vibe. And I want to speak to, yes, so we vibe, right? And I feel like you don't derive friendship alone. Vibe is, you cannot sustain a long-term or a marriage or something that is deep when both of you are seeing each other truly for who you are on vibe only, right? And it's, yeah, how you day now? Always how you do? You're laughing. And I think that we're going to be speaking to very important things from the Bible, right? We're going to be taking that scripture one by one, gently, and because that's the most practical. If you want to have a successful marriage or success marriage, or you are with a co-founder or anything, right? There is nothing as practical as what we're going to be talking about, right? It's going to deal with some cultural issues. We're going to get there. We're going to get to are men and women equal? We're going to get to all of those conversations, and we're going to get a bit very practical. And that's our standard from the Bible. So let's jump right into it. So I'm going to, Dupa will speak to some things. I'll speak to some things and we'll flow from there. First Peter chapter 3. It's a long read, verse 1 to 12. So we're going to do verse by verse. Follow message version. Are we ready? Yeah. First Peter 3. We don't intend to shake tables, but if it does, we go with the flow. Okay, the same goes for wives, right? So, be good wives to your husbands. So listen to this very practical, responsive to their needs. Yeah, I'm not going to speak to this part because this part is more theology, like how to win people, right? But be good wives to your husbands and responsive to their needs.
Okay. I think I like to speak to this because I wasn't always a good wife to my husband. And not because I entered marriage saying I'm going to be as bad a wife as possible, but because you don't really know. You don't know that you're not a good wife. And the fundamental way we were raised as kids is being spoken to as though there was something wrong with you. So your mother will come, why have you not washed this place? Why are you always the one not washing plates? Everybody will wash plates, you won't wash plates. You know, so if you get that long enough, you begin to feel like there's something wrong with me. So when you're not interacting with other people, you tend to be like that to them. When you enter the house, you just leave your slippers and say, why? Why can't you put slippers? It's not your mates that are putting slippers. And that kind of, that's how you enter the relationship. And That is not what he needs. He doesn't need somebody re-parenting a bad parenting situation in his life. He doesn't need a mom. He doesn't need somebody coming to remind him of all his weaknesses. He doesn't need somebody to constantly give him attitude as a strategy to change him, or force him or manipulate him. Those are not the things he needs. What he needs is love, he needs affirmation, he needs patience, he needs understanding, he needs somebody that will always be his ride or die chick. Ride or die meaning, no matter what we are going through, I'm always going to be here and I'll always support you. And I believe in you, even though it doesn't look like things are working out. Even though you don't believe in yourself, I believe in you for the two of us. And we'll ride this through. Those are the things he needs. So it took a while, it's not easy. It kicks in naturally, just like, say, culture kicks in naturally. You've been parented by people 15, 20 years, and they've done it one way. And when you enter marriage, that's pretty much all you know. That's the equipment you're working with. But that's why I love these sort of things. And I hope that, you know, this actually, I pray that God actually uses this. Because if we had platforms like this, maybe we wouldn't have spent so much time, you know, learning on the job. You know, so please take this in as we dish it out for free. Yeah. You're welcome. So what I had to learn was, okay, Dupe, you've come into this place, you've seen that he has not done what, or he has not done things the way you like, he has not said something, you know, oh, it's my birthday, you didn't say something romantic, I expected you to, you know, take me to Dubai and fly me on the blah and blah. He didn't do that. All he said was happy birthday and he moved on. Okay. No, he didn't do that too. It's an example. He's very good with birthdays. So, okay, he didn't do that. Okay, what's your response? Your response is, why are you not like this? You, or you keep malice, or you squeeze it. No, I'll pick it up. Or you keep malice, or you squeeze your face, or you give attitude, or you go, no. Your response is, thank you, Lord. Your response is, oh God, guys. If we are too romantic, focus. And this girl's, oh. Guys, helping his friend. So your response is, okay, why didn't he remember my birthday? Or why didn't he do this that I think I'd like? Why doesn't he do that? Okay, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's had a bad day. Maybe he is annoyed with something I've done. It could be me, you know. And then when you deal with all of those thoughts, you now go and meet him. You didn't wish me happy birthday. You just said, happy birthday. Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Is it important to you? Yes, it's important to me. I like it when you say happy birthday. In fact, let me give you a hint. If you do this, you did that, you blow my mind. Hey, 80% of the time, 90% of the time, a good man will pick it. Mm-hmm. A good man, no, there's a cliche there, I mean, there's a clause rather. A good man, yes. A good man will pick it. That is what he needs. He needs you to guide him on you. You are in school, he's learning. Mm. Yes, he has never attended your lecture before. Mm. Dating 6 months is not enough. Sometimes you always complain, my parents don't get me. They gave birth to you and they still don't get you. How much more the man had just met you? Do you understand? So your school, your book is reading. Make these chapters an easy read. This is what I like. This is who I am. Just do it like this, I like it. And when he puts effort, run mad with the effort. Oh my God! You bought me a pencil! Wow! Good boy! That's what he needs. All right, I don't know if I've had anybody.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful angle. I thought she was going to...
Yeah, make it easy. And I think that part of what we've... I know that there's a level of surprise element that you want and you want to... But make it easy. Like, what do you like? You know, you don't try and say... Well, some people like to observe and like to, okay, I'm going to be watching it, but just make it easy. What you know, sometimes one of the things I want to encourage, you know, because you want to know the needs before you are responding to those needs, right? So have very meaningful conversations, right? There are various tools to use, right? But have meaningful conversations that allows you know where the person you are doing life with is at, right? And I think we've talked about those kind, whether you are dating, whether you are married, but something we pretty much do is that every time we receive alert, you know what I mean? So she's more of a 9-to-5, so she gets alert at the end of the month. Me, I can get alert any given day. So anytime it happens, first thing we do before we think about just going somewhere that we've never been before, like we're always looking out for a very good location and we're just saying, okay, you know what, 1 to 10, right? What am I doing that you think I can do better, right? We're always like self-evaluating. And the reason is that what are the things that I'm not being able to fulfill? And she gives me that feedback, I get the feedback and I'm responding. So response doesn't have to be like you are trying to compensate. Response means that you are trying. You know, it means that you are moving towards the direction of the person's need. That alone is sufficient. That alone touches the heart. You know, so that's something that I thought that I need to mention. So let's go to verse 2. We need to connect. Let me join it because you can't do anything with this one. Yeah. Okay, you can't join it. Okay, so let me just Let's go to 3, verse 3. Captivated by our only beauty, what matters is not your... we can balance... You get it. You get it. Yeah. Is I don't put too much emphasis. Yeah, because... Okay, I don't want to go to... There's something we talk about inflation, right? We talk about this in one of these love book sessions, but I'm not going to talk about it now, right? So there's an elevation of the outer self, right? And that defines who a woman that you should run after, right? So if you ask someone who is in the canal, say, what kind of lady do you like, right? Dimension, they elevate the physical, the outward thing over what is important. And you don't even get to know. You know, you are not digging in. It's so interesting talking to single people, right? You don't even really get it.
Wow. You single people. The people who are single.
I apologize. I take that back.
Unmarried, please.
I take that back.
Not yet married.
But single is a good thing, right? It's good to be single than to be wrongly entangled.
Okay, he has balanced it.
So, yeah. But in the Bible, Paul was a single person and he was saying enjoy and milk the opportunities that come with singleness, right? So, because marriage comes with his own learning experience. So let me not balance it too much before we go. But the styling of your hair and the jewelry you wear and the cut of your clothes, right? So let's go verse 4. But your inner disposition. So this is something that is for... It's not just for men, it's not just for women, but it's for everyone. Cultivate inner beauty. The gentle and gracious kind that God delights in. Yeah, so this is something that... And we're doing that at Love Lab. By the way, registration has closed. The good news is that there are going to be more cohorts. But this cohort has closed. We have 40. Please, we have 45 people, right? It has full. But cultivate inner beauty. And I think that a lot of people are not doing this work. And I think that that's what Pastor Fede has been speaking to. Like, and the inner beauty is if you truly grow in your consciousness of your union life, not just saying it or having to appreciate it, but living it, right? That's beauty. Knowing that what powers you, what powers love in its different expression is the fact that you are, man is God with his skin, right? You know that what that means? If scripture says God is love, right? So man is an embodiment of love. Man is love, right, in his skin. And we have it. It's just that what has happened, you know, there was one of these, so see, if you have missed a number of love book, I'll keep referencing that. There was a time I was speaking on the one, right? And what has happened is that man has been shielded and has been schooled out of his loveness, right, of his romanticness, of his affectionness, of his kindness, of his graciousness. And so this is something that cultivating it is elevating your consciousness of these values, right? So this is what God delights in. So let's go to the next. But you want to speak to this as well?
Okay, no, let's go to the next one.
We're seeing verse 5. Yeah, this is interesting. The only women of old were beautiful before God that way. They were good, loyal wives to their husband, right? I think loyalship speaks to fanship, right? Right, like I'm a fan of Dupe, you know, and the same way, right? One of the things I realized, so I've seen that I'm talking to couples, and when the husband is talking, right, whether it's true or not true, and I see the man or woman just saying, you know what that means? Like, have you seen Arsenal fans? I don't know the most diehard fan. Is it Chelsea or Arsenal? No, I think it's Chelsea. I think Chelsea are the ones that are violent. Like, they, like, beat people in the... Yeah, I know Chelsea guys are like that. They are boisterous. They're like... like, they... Now, even, let's not go to. There are some clubs in Division 2 that they were relegated. Their fans don't stop being fans because they are in Division 2. It's only here in Nigeria that, oh, as long as you are in Division 2, I'll move to Man City. We are looking for the bride. Right? So, Stoke City, I think, is Stoke City still in Premiership, right? But they still have fans. They are still making money. What that means is that one of the things I've seen, you know, there was a relationship that we were dealing with, so that the woman is always, you know, saying everything negative about the man, right? No fanship, right? Fanship is saying that I am going to be loyal to this man. We are going to have our fight in the other room. You know what that means? And so what this is saying is that only women were good loyal wives to their husband. It's about, in his low and high moments, he doesn't lose value. You still see him as the king. Your wife, you still see her as a queen. In moments when she makes mistakes and does things that are beneath her, you still see her as the king she is, or as a queen she is, and for the man as the king he is. You want to say?
Yeah, I guess from a woman's perspective, that can be quite challenging. I won't speak for the men, because, you know, you are raised to see your father, well, some of us, high up there, and he had this special plate, and he came back in the night, and, you know, when everybody around is afraid, you know, this is high and mighty. You've never seen him in the toilet before. You've never seen him cry. You don't even know if he has tear glands. Hugging was not his favorite thing. You know, that's how sort of men were put to us when we were growing up, you know. Some were lucky. Had fathers like my husband's father, very down to earth. But most times, even in movies, man is this up there, muscular, powerful.
Masculinity.
Yes. So that's the image we have of a man. You know, smokes and drinks beer and watches football, you know, and you're a guy. And then you now marry him. And one day you see your husband crying, he's horrible, he uses toilet like everybody, in fact, so stinks, you know, and he's not as intelligent as you thought he was, he's not as wise as you thought he was. In fact, you come and realize he may be wiser, you know. And all the pie is only outside. When he comes outside, he deflates the balloon. He's just a regular Joe, you know. And then you are supposed to respect this image, but it's not the image. I better go ahead, Joe. See, finish, you know. It takes a lot. Now, that is when I see a woman has grown. When even what she's seeing is not what she thinks is supposed to be, but even whatever she's seeing, she's respecting. Because respecting that man, being loyal to that man, honoring that man is not about him. It's about you and who you are and the God in you and the God in him. And that's all about. That's all it's about. It's not about, oh, he's strong, he's not strong. He has a job, he doesn't have a job. He has money, he doesn't have money. It's not all about that. That's not why I'm here. I'm here in your life to support you. Another thing is to say, see, if I'm in your life, you will do well. If you're not doing well before, no problem. But merely you jam me like this, your story changed.
Yes, my story changed.
Yeah. How many women? See, when I watch this, I've literally stopped going to Instagram, because the one that used to offend me the most was when a girl would get an iPhone and she would start weeping. Hey, they bought me iPhone. They bought me wig. Oh my God. I want to see how many guys weep. Oh my God, she got me a job in Chevron. Oh my God. Oh my God. She bought me a house. Yay. Girl, my babe. Can't we as women come with value to the men in our lives? What? I don't even want to. Just leave. I am the table. You understand? That is not what I'm bringing to the. No. You just come into my life. Let me touch you small and you'll see. And how? We're not saying your father should be Dangote. No. I will speak words into your life. I will pray for you. I will support you. I will hold you when you are at your weakest point. When you have no ambition, I will help you to find your ambition. When you find that ambition, I will support you to achieve the ambition. I am your fan. I am loyal to you 100%. I have made this decision for you. I will not turn back. This is who I am. That's the kind of woman we are looking for, please.
Wow. So, I mean, if you look at, the Bible is a manual for Life. It's God's Word inspired, and it deals with every issue. If you cultivate inner beauty, it is not when someone who you feel like is negative. If you look at the first verse, it was talking about, I didn't want to go into that, but he said the man that does not even recognize that he's still living beneath his capacity is not in awareness of God's word. He said by reason of your expression of who you are, the person would realign and grow and measure up. That's what verse 1 was saying. There's power. We are all, there is good. We are all whole in God. God's, whatever God made is good. There is nothing deficient about the spirit of God in man. It's not, we have just been schooled out of who we are. And that's what tribe is about. It's reschooling you and reparenting you. So when you come in contact with someone who, and you are now bringing life, The person would, I don't want to say so many things that, you know, to validate some of the things you're saying, but I think that is something to take on with, is that I think something, a tool, whenever you get married, I don't know when, maybe next year, next month, just make sure that man, be his fan. Just be his fan. Just take, go and learn about a club and how fans behave. Just learn that behavior. Way. Like, I've done a bit of study, the Nigerian context. The UK concept is, Nigeria, we're learning work compared to the guys in the UK. Like, they buy tickets, they would have pre-ordered. They don't even wait for the match to start. They have bought their ticket. You get what I mean? Right? And the same way, you are a fan, you know, of your wife. Right? I remember when my wife was saying, oh, she came to Nigeria, she needed to travel for her graduation, and at some point there was a financial challenge. And me too, I'm still like trying to, you know. But I said, you must go. I look for that money, go and fly. Whether she married me or not, or gamble, that was not the problem. But the thing is, just as much as you can, one of the things I've seen that has caused major split in union is the lack of friendship. Like I don't want to use the word respect, because respect has been, has caused a bit of trauma. There are some words when you say it now, just puts me on the edge of respect. Because it's been abused, right? So, but I would like to use the word fanship, right? When you are someone's fan, you listen, right? You see this person as, if there's a book, A Night with the King, the story of Adasa, I've forgotten the author, read that book, how Vashti and Esther, and you see how what Esther used to really break the protocol and redeem the people of Israel is something worth learning from. The king, regardless of whether he knew about the Jewish people, but Esther saw that man, that king, you know, she was a fan of that king, and elevated. King, okay, let me not go so much in Esther and that story, but I think that is something to learn and something to pick.
Can I add it?
Yeah.
I want to speak to the men as well, because I like that this is very practical, you know. Sometimes women can be emotionally driven, and that's just our nature. So we have to work towards being more emotionally intelligent, much more than men sometimes. We have to put extra effort. It's just how we're wired. And sometimes we depend on our friends to give us the wisdom that we need. We depend on movies. We depend on all sorts of things, novels. And it influences how we react. And then you now judge us, and you are harsh on us, and you are canceling. That's your favorite one, canceling us, that this is who she is, a woman. I know a woman they do, you know. Those are not the words that will help us grow. Be loyal to us, even when we are behaving in ways that you are like, you can't understand. Still be loyal to us. And I've learned the power of confessions. I see that God, we are gods, and God created the entire earth that has existed for billions of years with only words. So words are powerful, and I am a God. So as a God over your wife, that is part of leadership, is to confess in public, in private, and personally, confess who she is. I learned that with parenting recently, because when I'm disciplining my children, I will just be like, no, you're not to embarrass me in this, I will flog this madness. No, God told me, remind him that this is not who he is, tell him who he is. So as I'm correcting him, I'm like, Finfollower, this is not who you are. And every time you are behaving contrary to who you are, I will redirect you to who you are. This is who you are. You are good, you are kind, you are this, you are that. So when you are loving your wife, please remember to tell her physically, this, you are a woman who very beautiful. You think you are great. You love me. You take care of this. You do this. I'm just telling you who you are. I am reminding you who you are. Speak those words, and soon your words will catch up in her spirit, and she'll become what you are called her to be.
Hallelujah. Words will catch up with her spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So verse 6. We are going to verse 12. How many more minutes do we have? But we will just continue. Now, Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him, my dear husband. Right? So find, I like to just put it together, right? It's not just that, find something that tones you guys down, like something that, you know, something that, so, Is there a distraction? So, would address him as my husband. You will be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same. And I think this is where it gets really interesting. Unanxious, unintimidated, right? And if you look at the life of Sarah, Sarah was the same person that told Abraham, go and sleep with a guy. I think Sarah like had Abraham's mumu's button. Go and sleep with a guy. After a while, he saw a guy behaving anyhow. He said, you know what? Let her go. and let her go. Let her go and make her, remind her who she is. She's a slave. Right? Just remind her. So she was, it's like the way she was sent out, it was not an honorable exit. So you can see that. It's not because I'm respecting you because the Bible said submit to your. Oh, no, that's not it. Unintimidated, unanxious. You are doing it because that is what we should be. That is inner beauty. Yeah. So in our time, in our modern time, you know, KJV will say, my Lord, right? So some guy say, hey, call me my Lord. I want to feel, you stop looking for those kind of validation. But my point is that let the word she gives you be the expression of what she feels about you, right? She calls me, well, Ademi, right? I call her Anyofemi, right? You know what that means? The one I've chosen, right? That's how I feel, right? Because so. Find something that makes it there. So it's getting practical, right? But we don't say it all the time, right? We just save it on our phones. You get what I mean? So I just want to be. So she, you know, that's how she says my name on her phone. Some people say, you know, and you know, sometimes you go to the, you know, there was a day I was in a bus, in public transport, and I said, and I saw, you know, someone that I would have not, he was a mechanic, right? And his phone rang, and I saw the mechanic say, my baby. I said, if we're in this zone, they get.
They love in the trenches.
I don't know that people are doing this stuff. But it's actually a spiritual law, spiritual principle, right? You words I have creative abilities, right? And if you want to incubate things, that's something you need to do. But do it, don't respect your husband because culture is asking you to do so. Respect it because that's who you are. You just naturally respect people. That's really what it is. Unanxious and intimidated. So let's go to verse 7. Okay, the same goes, Shengbo. Are you listening? Another year. The same goes for you husbands. Be good husbands. You see, the Bible is complete. Be good husbands to your wife. Honor them. That submission you are seeing in Ephesians 5:25, like this is it. Yeah, you have to like honor her. honor them, delight in them.
When you get the chance, let me speak on delight in them.
Right? As women, they lack, so they lack some disadvantages. So I'm going to speak some to this if I can. But in the new life, look at this. So, but in the new life of grace, even though they lack some advantages, right? But in the new life, powerful of God's grace, you are. Before you start saying, men that we've heard now, husband and wives are equal, right? This equality means oneness, means union, not sameness. Right? Because, yeah, it means oneness. And if you see this, treat your wife then as one, as equal, so that your prayers don't run aground. All right, so before I get, let me take it one by one. Honor them and delight in them as much as you can. I don't look at the, you know, there is a cultural bias that women don't, how would I put it? Because of their emotional bandwidth or how they express themselves. See, you know, my friends get into my, say, there are some things you don't tell a woman, or. Yeah. You know? And I feel like, let me put it this way, in a way that is wholesome, right? But I've learned that their emotional roller coaster is, that's where their power lies, right? And so, do I tell my wife everything, right? I tell my wife to the degree, so I strip out everything that would trigger her, or I manage the trigger point. I say, okay, you know, this thing is going to affect you. Right? So for example, I remember, okay, let me just go very real. I remember when I, bad move, okay? I went to learn how to trade Bitcoin. I went to learn, I paid money. And I took, I think it was about, I can't remember, 2 million. I can't remember about the exact amount. So I told her, So one day, one fateful day, I saw a very good opportunity to become something else in life. So, and you know the way you trade. So instead of me to put 0.02, my point missed 2 decimal places. Depreciated the value from that million to about 50K. I thought nobody, so I lost money. But moving on. Now it's lack of honor for you to, you don't carry family money. You don't. Then you're now going to the, so there's a subject of masculinity that become toxic, and that's when you got. That's when masculinity becomes dangerous, because in trying to prove yourself of being a man, you are not trying to cover. You are trying to say, okay, I go and borrow 500, buy, but trying to make up. Whereas you have your, I know that there are some people that are. Good women, right? So let's just put that context. Then you, and I realize that going to her, and be vulnerable. Don't go and be doing macho. I say, this 2 million, I lost 50,000. But don't worry. Don't worry.
I'm sort it out.
I'll sort it out. I make things happen. Go like you have committed a crime. Accept your mistake. Humble yourself. Right? At that point. So my point at the end of it is that when your wife realizes that, and she can trust you even in the moment when you know you have made a mistake and you still show up, that is honor. That is recognizing that she is the only one that can rescue you. I'm coming to the person that would save the day. And I think that that's how I say, delight in her, celebrate her as much as you can. Delight in her, feel, I'm excited when she comes around. Even when I'm angry with her, I'm just saying, I'm happy that you came home, right? I'm just really, like, I form a conscious habit to delight in your wife, right? I'm not, there are some areas where I'm not good at. For example, my wife dressed beautifully well. Before I tell you that, oh, you are beautiful. Someone else would have said it. You are beautiful. I just said, like, you know, see, let me tell you the truth about marriage relationship, right? It's, you know, it's so interesting and it's true, right? It just, you have to be, when they say love is a choice, it applies in marriage, because when we were married, we're going to the cinema, we're always doing, when we got married, like, cinema was not a cultural thing, because it's very functional. Marriage becomes so functional that romantic love is, you have to be intentional, because there is a culture of you have to pay rent, you have to do things, you know, it is too functional. It's what's up with this, what's up with that, you're catching up on things, but you're not catching up on yourself, right? So delight in your wife. Bottom line, what I'm trying to say is that don't miss out of moments to delight in her. When she does something that is really good, reinforce it. Don't say, oh, when you reinforce the things that are really, like, you are upset with, but the one she has done well, elevate it. Why do you try to say, okay, that's really good, wonderful, you're done? No, this is really good. I like, you make me proud, you are doing well in your, you just elevate those good things. So delight in her. Let me even take one verse of the Bible, if you can switch. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Remove the non-union part of it and take the union part of it, because it can. So very quickly, let's go to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. We'll just read it together. How many more minutes do I have? 9, verse 9. Open it. I want them to read it. I want them to see it. I'm talking to men. Projector is not there. Let me get there. 9:9. Relish life with the spouse you love each and every day of your amazing life. Praise God. Hey, each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one.
Okay, yes. I was going to speak on delight.
Oh yeah, delight. Oh yeah, speak to that.
Okay, so I notice that men kind of delight in their guys. I've noticed that I want to hang out with guys, and they delight in that. When they come into the home with their wives, they sort of switch off and enter another mode where maybe I'll just cope with this one. She's coming and she's talking, No, and then after I talk, PG-18, I can enter room, I beg, maybe just collect. I want to tell men, please, delight in your wife just as you delight with your guys. Your wife is your first guy before your guys. It's something you need to get. It's important. A lot of guys feel like guys are guys, a woman where I put for house. No, your wife is your first guy. You should build it. If she's not there yet, that is the work of marriage. It is to build her to that point where she is your guy. Same thing with women as well. Sometimes you have your girlfriend and then you have that man that is paying the bills and putting on generator. No. See, if you can hack it, it's not easy to hack. If you can hack it, it's not, it's very difficult to hack. But if you can, so bro, But if you can hack it, you will be the better for it. You will be the most, you will have the most exciting and the most delightful union of your life. Remember that your guys will move, relocate. Your guys will marry and go. Your guys will change. They will not like you tomorrow. Your wife will always be with you. So is it not wisdom to make your wife your main guy?
Yeah, make your wife your main guy. Like very, very key. Make your wife your main guy. Yeah, yes. Make your wife. You know why I said yes, right? My wife is trying to make me learn a handshake I never get, but
please help me learn. Let us have secret handshake and be cool.
Yeah. So, and I think it's very, very, very important that you make, you know, I try to tell my wife, like, you are my best friend, man. You know, because I have guys that are friends, we gist, we have our apologies, there are things we say, but like, this is the person I want to, because that's safety. Because people have been schooled out of, so men don't usually do that because they don't see, their wife is not treating them as, you know, this is the person that I adore, this is, and a lot of marriages are going through a lot because I'm asking some of my friends, I'm saying, why are you here till 10 p.m.? What are you doing here till 10 p.m.? I'm not saying you should not hang out and spend time with your, but when it's habitual, when it's always habitual, then it means that there's something that has not been fixed. Is it that two things? Is that your part? I see, in that same place where we have the boys gist and all of that, some boys bring their wives. And the wife is in the gist because he's saying that this one I can't leave this one. This is my, you know, some men derive a lot of I can't leave this one. So the woman is there and enjoying herself, right? You are friends with the friends of your husband, right? I'm friends with the friends of my wife. Like, they are friends. They are doing that. I'm part of their life. We are together in the law. We become friends. Right? Even if she has male friends, except if the male friend is now doing like, I want a hand, that's a problem. But if you come as friend, we enjoy, right? I have female friends too, and she will become, in fact, most times, because Dupe is, she's good at that, she will convert my female friends to her friends. That will look like
wisdom. Take the wisdom.
You are no longer my friend. What happened to us? It's your wife that happened to us. Marriage is a beautiful thing, right? I think the things that people have said about, but it's a beautiful thing if it's done well. Are we going through our tension moment? Yes, we even had tension. We're still dealing with communication breakdown sometimes. But you know what? There's beauty. Even in the communication breakdown, we find our way back and say, we actually did well this time around.
We did better than yesterday.
So let's move on. Like, verse 10.
No, 1 Peter 3:7.
No, 1 Peter
3.
Well, hey, quick. 1 Peter 3, verse.
1 Peter 3:8.
That's it. Okay, let's sum it up.
Let's end
this. This is the conclusion. Can we read this together? Okay. I didn't talk about equality, time will not permit us. I wanted to talk about this whole concept of sameness and all of that, and that there is something called personal authority. A woman wants to bask in her femininity. A man wants to bask in his personal authority of masculinity. And you are looking at equality, and that's where tension comes. Because the man wants to be a man and the woman wants to be a woman, and a woman wants to have a say. But let's recognize that when the Bible says you are equal, it means that it's not exactly one equals to one. It is one into one. You get what I mean? That's what it means. And if you recognize that, it takes you off the tension of gender roles and you see it as partnership. As co-founder-ish, right? For lack of a better pronunciation. And so that's how you would see it, that both of you are doing life together and it's together against whatever it is that is attacking you, together against the things that are pulling you back. You guys are for each other. So that's what it means. And that you allow the person bask in their strength. So if this person can lead, let the person lead and submit to that leadership. So that, because in a co-founder relationship, even though they are co-founders, someone will be CEO and someone will be CTO. And the CTO, even though they have equal shares, they are not the same, because this one can lead better, but this one can code better. So I allow the person who can lead better than the coder trying to lead. You get what I mean? So that's the best way I can put it. But summing it up, this is for everybody, right? You say, okay, if you don't understand what that I've said, if there's still tension on previous verses, this is something that we can all agree on. Be agreeable. You know what that means? It means that don't be a difficult person. Be agreeable. Like, nothing, once you have an opinion, it ends there, right? Nobody can refine, progress, make it better. This is the way I am. No, be agreeable, right? Okay, there's something called middle ground. Okay, how can we find a common, elevate this beyond my thought process and get to, so like I tell some people, if one way to be agreeable is that move it away from the subject matter and elevate it. The subject matter is what is causing the disagreement. Move it to something bigger. So if you want to agree on homeschooling, so I wanted homeschooling, my wife doesn't believe in homeschooling. How do we get agreeable? Like, I'm so fixated on homeschooling. Like, I'm in homeschool. Like,
junkie.
Like, I am for homeschooling. But she is for, we don't have time. We can't do homeschooling. We don't have the bandwidth for it. So if I stay on my opinion on homeschooling and she is not agreeing to homeschooling, are we going to make progress? How do we make progress? Be agreeable. Find a common ground, find a middle ground. And at the end of the goal is not whether it's homeschool or not. The goal is that we have children who are learning and who are actually learning in a way that they are learning to create, not learning to remember. You get what I mean? So if I say, okay, I want my children to learn how to create, but they can't get in the environment of school, how do we make that happen? If that's the goal, whether it's homeschool or in school, let's make that happen.
And to add to that, what we now did was, okay, they will go to regular school, but I know I will take my time to create courses. And when we have time, we now work with them with those courses. Now, if he wasn't agreeable and he was insistent on his way, I won't be committed to that. I won't take it up. I will just say, okay, you want to do it? And then my posture will be more of to prove you wrong. Maybe you see, I told you, this is what I was telling you happened. It's not happening. You know, but because he was agreeable and he elevated the conversation from what I want to what is the best or what is the big picture, then we're now able to say, okay, how can we achieve this? Because the goal is good. Uh-huh. My approach, your approach is where we have problem. Okay, let's find other ways outside of our desires to achieve the goal. And then it came, and I was committed to that because they are also my children, and I also agree that they have to have that learning. You know, but that is the beauty of being agreeable, not always standing in your way. This is my way or the highway. I'm the man. I'm the one that told you to do it. I'm a woman to prove myself. I'm a human being. I believe in feminism. You will just spoil your home. Agreeable is, I could be wrong. That's my mantra. My mantra now is, I could be wrong. I could be 100. I could have this theory that is absolutely bull. It is nonsense, and I have carried it. I picked it up from a movie. I could be wrong. And when I started telling myself that I could be wrong, it lowered all defenses and allowed me to listen and elevate. So that's, I wanted to add that to agreeable.
So I think we'll stop here. We'll just read everything else. Then you can go home and just learn the other things. Be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. Verse 9. We'll stop at verse 12. That goes for all of you. No exception, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. Your job, that's your job, to bless. You will be a blessing, and all you get, a blessing.
Sharp tongue sarcasm. You are really a man. I didn't know. Wow, you are a man. Man, is this how men behave? Have you seen men outside? No, that's not your job. Your job is, you are a man, and I believe in you.
Whoever want to embrace life and see the days filled up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Should we go to verse 12? Okay. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you are what? Verse 12. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he asks. But he turns his back on those who do evil things. I hope this session has been useful. Thank you very much. We're done.
Thank you.
So, if you have any more questions, right, reserve your question for Love Lab. But
you're not in the class. Next cohort. We are very serious about.
But Love Lab, it's amazing. Thank you for all the teams that have been created. I love the names. There's Intimo, Syndico.
Ah, Taye, stop killing these names. Leave them with their names.
I'll leave you with your names. We'll talk about it in Love Life. Thank you very much, guys.
You can log on to thetribelagos.com or email us at hello@thetribelagos.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on The Tribe Lagos. God bless.